Hey guys, just a heads up. This podcast contains adult language and occasionally has adult themes. If you are under the age of 18, you need to click away. No, seriously, if you are a child or someone who's going to be judging me around the dinner table, you need to find another podcast. Thanks. Welcome to Panda Talks, where it's Halloween for us, but it's November 1st for the rest of you. I'm Panda.
And I'm Brady.
Happy Halloween, guys. Where did October go?
Don't know.
I don't either. I had like so much I wanted to do. And I didn't do it.
I think I did everything I wanted to.
I didn't get to go to the pumpkin patch, the Red Barn. I like them. They have, you know, homemade apple cider, which I'm really into. And, I didn't get any apple cider this year.
I guess I didn't. I think I planned on watching more scary movies and...
Yeah, we didn't ever watch Shaun of the Dead.
Dang it. We can still watch it. It's good all year.
No, we could try. I don't know about you, but I feel like I went from, like, being super, super motivated to, like, it started... The weather went from fall to winter, and I got super unmotivated and tired and didn't want to do anything. Also, both our kids got sick.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I'm just so freaking tired, and I've had a migraine since Friday. So, life's not sounding too good, but, you know.
Well, do you feel better now?
No, my neck still hurts. I'm, like, a little pissy about it. My CBD's not working, and I've, like, have so much faith in this stuff. I can't believe it's not working. It always works, so it must be hormonal and not muscle. So, I don't know.
I ended up putting some of that on my knee last night.
Oh, the shit's bomb, isn't it?
I don't know, because I was, well, so I fell asleep on the couch, and then I got up, went to bed, and I, like, had to go lock the back door. And as I was walking to the back door, my knee was, like, just killing me. And so I went and, like, I shined my phone on all of them, and I found the one that said, like, for pain.
The red one?
Yeah, and I used, like, a little bit, like you showed me, and then I rubbed it on my knee. And I'm like, oh, this smells like,
Biofreeze. Biofreeze. Lidocaine? Is it called lidocaine? I always want to call it lithium, but that's not what it is.
I'm not sure, but I put it on, rubbed it in, and then I laid down and I fell asleep pretty quick.
Must have worked.
So, yeah.
You weren't up with knee pain. Well, so we did not watch a lot of spooky movies, but do you know what we did do?
Sorry, I was yawning. What?
We read some spooky books.
We did.
Not as many as I would have liked, and I have some sad news. This will probably be our last book dump because we ran out of credits, and Brady wouldn't let me buy any more, and he wouldn't let me buy books on Audible. Basically said just after 10 years he wanted to end the relationship.
Basically, so this is how we're breaking it to everybody. We just...
No, he's a smart boy. We got birthday, Christmas, and a Disneyland trip coming up, so we need to save money. But that being said, so I did not read as many books as I did in October, and we'll probably just have to pick a book to review, like the good old days. And I'll miss these book dumps. It was fun just, like, listening to books again. Well,
I feel bad because Audible just barely started it, or didn't just barely. It was, like, late last week sometime. They started doing a 2-for-1 Halloween books. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll get on there. And I looked at it, but I haven't done too much with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'll get on. Because there was, like, The Halloween Tree, which I've never read, but it was from Ray Bradbury, the dude that wrote... did he write I Am Legend, or was that somebody else? He wrote... Fahrenheit 451.
I don't remember. So, I know I should, but I don't really look at authors. And I know I should. I know that's awful, but.
So I don't know. I just heard it was good. And I'm like, I don't know what it's about, but it was on the 2-for-1, so I thought maybe I'll buy it if I see something else. And then I forgot to look at it. So I don't know if it's still going. Maybe I'll look.
Yeah, well, it's fine because, you know, I'm done with the spookies. I'm ready to get back to my normal, like, I have so many books I need to read, but this was really fun. I really, like I said, I've been keeping a bullet journal with all my books, and everything was either loved or liked, and in fact, only one book was liked. So I loved like every book. So I think I definitely found my genre, because at first I was like, I think I'm into, sci-fi, because like some of my favorite books are sci-fi, and then I was like, no, that can't be. I really hate sci-fi. Like, I really hate sci-fi. I'm not a science fiction person. I don't like Star Wars. Like, I think the only like outer space movie I like is Spaceballs, you know? But anyways, yeah, I think I'm into like spooky novels, but more on that later. Should I just dive into it?
Yeah.
You didn't read all these books with me,
I didn't.
but you have read some of them like previously, like last year.
Yeah.
So I think I read 7 books. I was gonna count, but the TV just went dark. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I'm pretty sure I read like 9 in August. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was hoping to read more books. I had a huge lineup, but like I said, we ran out of credits and I couldn't buy any more. But I started with Coraline. This is a book I read in middle school, and well, my teacher read it to the class. I just remember it being creepy AF, and it came out before the movie was even like a thing. Like, I'm sure they were working on it, but I had no clue about it. And I remember watching it and just like the movie was good, and then like, but the book was better. I mean, and that's always the case, but like it was just creepier. So I was really excited to reread this one. It was a young adult, in like the, you know, the young adult section. So reading it now as an adult, like obviously it didn't like scare me or anything, but thinking that like, wow, this is in the YA section, it's pretty friggin' creepy. And it gets like pretty intense for like the intended audience. And even though I was not the target audience, I'm much older, I really enjoyed it. It was so good. It was just as good as I remember, you know, just I don't know. And it was read by the author on Audible, which I really appreciate that because I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of good voice actors out there, and I'm not trying to like downplay them, but just when it's the author, it's like they're reading to you in the voice they wrote the book in. So you're like getting the most genuine experience out of that book that you
Well, and
can.
I didn't know that it was written by Neil Gaiman, to go back to authors. so he's the dude that's like, I don't know, he's written so many things now. Like, if you look him up, he's one of those people like Stephen King. Like, everything he writes is an adaptation of something. So he wrote, there's a DC graphic novel, which is like the greatest selling graphic novel of all time. The Sandman, he wrote that. He wrote, what's that one that's on Amazon Prime? Good Omens, American Gods. Like, he just has written so many, and I'm like, oh. But, you know, I'm like, I didn't, I've always seen him as writing these big, fantastic, like, fanciful whatevers. And then when we started, or when you read it, you didn't mention, like, because like you said, you don't really pay attention to authors unless
I
it's
know,
somebody that you.
no, I'm awful, and I need to, because it's a lot of work goes into it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just an awful, shitty person.
Well, and it's, I don't know, I guess I've done it because I do it with like movies and stuff. You're like, oh, I want to know who this director is, because you can usually be like, I either know I'm going to like or hate this movie based off of the director. So.
Well, and to be honest, I am the type of person that up until I met you, I didn't even like really know actors' names. Like, obviously, I knew the big ones, but like, it was just always like, oh, hey, it's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know, in every movie, it's Harry Potter. And Till I Met You, and then you really like, hey, let's learn the actors' names, especially voice actors. That's when it went from, hey, it's Rufio, to, hey, it's Dante Basco. So, thank you.
Basco.
Basco. I always do that. I always do that.
It's okay. I don't think he would get mad.
He might.
He seems like a cool guy.
Oh my gosh. I like love him so much. And I'm like, he doesn't want me as a fan anymore. I've brought shame. I need to regain my honor. If I throw out enough honor quotes, do you think I could get it back?
Maybe.
Apparently, this is a fun fact. Sorry to cut you off.
Very good.
He didn't know what the deal was. Like, fans just kept saying, like, say my honor, or, like, will you autograph this and put for my honor? And he didn't know what the heck people were talking about until he rewatched Avatar, and he's like, huh, I sense a theme here. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Oh, no, I was just finishing up my thought. Like, that was, like, something that I, that was, I guess, the first thing I thought was interesting when I started reading Coraline. So I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't, never knew that he was attached to it in any way. So it probably says it in the movie, but I've only seen the movie like 3 times maybe. So I don't know, we watched it right after we finished the book, which was nice. But yeah, that was one of the books that I read as well.
And then we'll get into this in a second, but I almost find that I really, I don't know if this is stupid to say or not, but the book and the movie are matched so closely. Like, yes, there's some obvious differences in it, but they weren't big enough that they pissed me off. Because, like, Game of Thrones, for example, A Song of Fire and Ice, I think is the first book. I guess I watched the TV show first. There's a character I absolutely hate. One of the worst scenes in the entire, up until season 4, because that's when I stopped watching. One of the worst, most uncomfortable scenes I hated took place around this character. I'm sure that scene probably still happens in the book. I don't know. But it surrounds this character that when I went back and read the book, that character didn't even exist. And I was pissed off after that. You know, the movie creates a character that doesn't exist in Coraline, but I'm not, like, pissed about it. Like, it works. It's cohesive. Like, you still get the same plots of the story. It's not too different, but it mirrors the book so closely, and I really appreciate that.
Usually when I see something like that, like, oh, they added a character, especially if they're so close to the main character, for me, I usually think, like, is there so much, like, internal draw or internal dialogue or whatever that it's really hard to, like, do that in a movie and have it make sense and be like, oh, this is 100% like, because if the person's just standing there and you hear the voice in their head, you're like, oh, that makes sense, like on Scrubs and stuff. But then if you were like watching Coraline and she's just like standing there staring at people while all of her thoughts are being read out loud,
might like, not okay. make sense. But I will say, I think the biggest things that did piss me off between movie and book is, book Coraline is, they're in England, I believe. They're in the United Kingdom somewhere. And she is a very polite little girl. Like, she kind of gets annoyed that people can't get her name right, but she's very polite. Even, like, when she calls the cops to report her parents missing, she doesn't, like, get angry with them. She's just like, okay, yeah. Like, you know, like, I don't know. She's just very polite. And I don't know if it's just because the American voice actor for the movie Coraline is Dakota Fanning, which I'm admittedly not a huge fan of hers. She just comes off like the shit-mouth little bitch, and she really pisses me off. Like, she's just disrespectful, she's rude, and, like, I don't know, just even, like, down to the parents in the movies, like, the mom's just, I hate to say it, but she's a big asshole, and I completely relate to her. Just, like, I'm like, gosh, she didn't need to yell at her kids like that. And then I'm like, well, I kind of yell at my kids when they annoy me too. But, like, the parents, like, obviously, like, she's being a kid and she's bugging them and keeping them from their work. But they're just like, okay, yeah, like, go away. But they're, like, happy about it. Like, they don't come off, like, shaking their fist and yelling in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are my biggest, like, things I hated. Is I love how in the movie she's just this polite little girl. And her parents are even, like, nice to her. But I guess in the movie it does portray, like, oh, you are miserable. Your parents don't pay attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, she's kind of a turd. So I'm like, well, I don't know. I think that's my biggest thing I disliked between the two.
Yeah, I thought I liked how the book Coraline was a lot more clever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the end of the movie when she ends up, I say spoilers, but it's always like, oh, this movie's been out for 10 years, so if you haven't seen it, big deal.
Skip ahead.
So, like, at the climax of the movie, when she's catching the other mother's hand, she, like, it's like an accident. Like, she's like, oh, there's,
oh, yeah.
She's looking for the well, and she finds the well, and, like, gets the hand to go in and stuff. But in the book, she, like, makes this whole plan of, like, I'm gonna trick the hand.
The hand, yeah.
And you're like, oh, perfect. So, the movies, I liked the movies dealing with the other mother's hand a lot better. Because I was like, oh,
this is... Oh, you did?
Like, or not the movie, the book.
Okay, I was going to say. I was like, I prefer... Yeah, I definitely love the book. Just for the fact that... Because even in the movie, she just like... In just one night, she's like, I got to get rid of this key. And, you know, everything just happens. But in the book, it's like, goes on for a few days. Like...
Mm-hmm.
One of the terriers downstairs is, like, cut and bleeding from being in a fight with something. And they're like, we don't know what animal did this.
Yeah, they're like, well, he's probably going to die soon, but hey, he's lived a good life.
Oh, and there's no garden in the book. And I guess that's the one thing the book has over, or the movie has over the book, is a dope-ass garden. But, mm-hmm. again, it doesn't really take away, so.
Yeah.
Like... I'm not disappointed there's no garden in the book, but at the same time, like, oh, the dope-ass garden. I wish I had a garden that size. That'd be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, shall we move on?
What did you give the book?
5. I gave it a loved it. Colored it red.
Oh, yeah, I guess you don't really have to reiterate because you said that you loved every one of them, so.
Well, I just said I loved all but one.
Okay.
So.
Okay, yeah. I was just like, oh, she said she liked them, so.
All right, what did you give yours?
I really liked it. Yeah, I was on the same, I guess the same level as you. Like, I didn't think it was going to be, like, much more intense than the book or the movie. But for the most part, it wasn't. It stayed pretty close for a lot of it. Like, even down to the terriers being bats. On that part, I was like, oh, because
yeah.
I couldn't remember that part from the movie. And then when I was like, read the book, I was like, oh, that's awesome. I wish they'd do that in the movie. And then I was watching the movie. I'm like, holy crap, they did it. I totally forgot about this. But
oh, and sorry.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, I guess another difference now that I'm thinking of is the book, when she goes to see Mr. B's Mouse Circus,
mm-hmm.
there are these cute little mice with button eyes. But in the book, they were rats. And they're just like, oh, yeah, rats are our friends here. We like rats. And that was just
yeah
how it was. So, but I don't know. That's neither here nor there. But
mm-hmm.
there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't mind reading it because it was like, what, like 4, 5 hours?
It was 4 hours, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It was short.
It wasn't
very
long. It was just like, I think I went through it in like maybe a day and a little bit because I ended up like, I don't really listen to them at home. So mm-hmm. I just like almost made it all the way through it at work. And then I just finished it the next day, like just the last little bit.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah.
Next up, I don't think you read this book. I know we talked about it, but I don't think you read it. I Am Legend and yeah. Other Short Stories.
I did not.
Okay, I'll take the floor on this one. It was amazing. It is very it makes me, how does the quote go? Flames on the corner of my eyes. Is that how it goes?
I want to say from the back of my head, but I
From the
can't
back of
remember.
my head. It makes me very upset how much better the book is than the movie. And I brought this up to a coworker, and he was like, "Well, yeah, because it's, you picture it differently in your head than how they portray it on film." And I'm like, "No, it's not even that. It's like completely different." And like I had heard from other people that have read the book how it was different, but it's just like, oh, it's so different, and it's just so much better. So much. I would love for them to, like, it would make a great film, and that's the whole time I was just thinking, like, this would just make such a great film. I just kept thinking, like, recast Will Smith. He did great. It wasn't him, but it's just like, I don't even know. I don't even know how to say it without, like, too many spoilers, but I feel like just the. They did a good job of showing Will Smith like having his like mental breakdown, like hitting on the mannequin at the store and then like yelling at it, or I can't remember how. Like I think they like did show like, yeah, he obviously had a rough time, and I think they did good, but this guy's mental breakdowns, he's literally like, he talked about that like internal monologue. He's having that out loud with himself. And it's just, I don't know what about it that just, it's so chilling, just the way he like has a conversation by himself. Dude's a little bit horny in it, which you're kind of like, all right, tone it down, like end of the world, and all you can think of is like how long you've gone without sex. I don't know if it's a guy thing, but I just feel like if you were to have like died in front of me from this like awful, awful disease, I don't know if I'd be like, oh man, I haven't had sex in freaking 9 months. I don't, maybe that's just me, but I think that's just the weirdest part about it, that you're like, okay, dude, like we get it. I think it's one of those things that's like, does this need to be said? Like, I think.
Well, I mean, just sorry to
No,
interrupt
no, no,
you,
no.
but just from my outside looking in, it sounds to me like, and this might be me like over, I don't know what you'd call it, over like analyzing it or whatever, but I'm like, well, I guess you could look at it like it's he's dying for a relationship, and that's like a big part of a relationship, so maybe he wants everything instead of that. Like he's like, I'm gonna focus on this one bit because the rest of the relationship is very complicated, but this one's like is like the base form of a relationship.
I wanna give you a chance here, but no. It's legit just he's horny. 'Cause well, first of all, I don't know if I should like if this might be spoilers, but like I'll try to be vague. But they're less zombies and more vampires.
Oh, I knew that. Like,
And they're intelligent. So the one guy stands outside his house and yells it for him to come out every night. And when he looks out the windows and the vampires see him, the females start lifting up their dresses, and he can't handle it, and he can't think about it because he gets too horny thinking about it. Like it's 1,000% like, oh, they lift up their damn dresses. Those like they know I'll rush out if I see their whatevers. So, because I don't know. Again, maybe this is just because I'm a chick, but I just feel like if there's like vampire dudes outside my house, they just started pulling out their wieners. I don't think I'd be like, oh, they're tempting me. I gotta run out there right now. But I don't know. Anyways, let's get off the horny bits. I didn't like them. But the rest of the book was really, really good. Freaking fantastic. The last half of that book, it after that story ended, the ending was kind of like, I don't want to say it was a letdown, but it was just kind of like, I think it was a good ending. I think it was good. It wasn't a big, glorious ending, but it was good. But the book was, I think, 6 or 8 hours. And then the rest of the book was just these short stories. Had nothing to do with it. And I really liked it. It almost felt like a Treehouse of Horrors, like The Simpsons, just like the little bits you'd get.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know when I was talking to you about him, you said I might not read the short stories. They were worth the listen. So if you get it on Audible and it's like, and other short stories too, like some were good, some were not, but I don't know. They were all entertaining. And I marked this one 5 stars. I loved it.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never I never made it to that one. I got kind of stuck on Dracula and I didn't even finish it, but I we'll get to other stuff.
Yeah. Real quickly before we take our break, we're going to come to our my first and only 4-star liked it book. And that was The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And you've read this one. You read this one last year, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I don't want to say I hated it, but it just really suffered from this thing. Like, 10,000 Leagues, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and even Fahrenheit 451, where when it's good, it's good. It's real good. But then there's also moments where I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? What are we talking about?
I think it was kind of hard with that one, too, because it was like a, it was just like a short story. It wasn't even like a novel. It was written for a magazine. It was like an article
in
a
magazine. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope. I know the guy who wrote it, his wife, like, read the manuscript or whatever and then, like, threw it in the fire and told him to rewrite it till it was better. Pretty sure it was that story, but I didn't necessarily mind the length. Like, I think it could have been good with how short it was. Like I said, with me, it was just more of, like, there are just parts that are just, they were really good, I was really entertained, but then we just kind of go off on these bits where I'd be like, did I miss something? Do I need to rewind it? Like, what are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, that's when I read in September, and we didn't do a September book dump, but that one was a meh, a 3 stars. And like I said, it's because the parts, when they were there, I was so entertained, I was so enthralled, like, could not get enough of it, and then just, like, randomly, I'd just be like, did I miss something? What's happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, overall I liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, it's got such a good, opener. Like, it just kind of, like, starts off talking about this crazy dude, and you're like, he sounds super sketchy, like, but then it's random, because it's like, he pushed down a little girl and wouldn't say sorry, and that's, like, his big...
And we extorted money out of him for it.
Yeah.
So she must have been, like, badly hurt or something.
Yeah.
Because that's weird, but...
But then it's like, he eventually ends up, like, killing somebody, but it's like, to me, I don't know, I guess, not knowing the actual, like, origin story, I was just like, oh, well, this guy's got to be super hardcore, and then at the, you know, you're reading the book, you're like, oh, well, he only, like, killed one guy. Like, not to say only killed one guy, but I mean, in a fictitious novel.
And we're going to get into this a little bit more when we reach, like, Frankenstein and Dracula, but it's just one of those things where Hollywood, I don't want to say Hollywood, but just, like, pop culture has separated it so far from its origins that it's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I guess, you know, like, I've never seen or anything, I've just, you know, it's talked about a lot, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and I think the most I have to go off of it is the freaking Chipmunks, the werewolf episode where they're doing the play, but it's like, I don't know, they make him out to be like this monster, horrible, you know, horrible to everyone person, but, like, in the book, like you said, he's just kind of rude. But all in all, like, I don't know, murder's murder. I'm not trying to like glorify it, but he doesn't do much. He murders one guy and you're just like, this is the big old monster. He's just kind of an asshole. Like,
Yeah.
shit, I'm a monster. I can be kind of an asshole. Like,
Well, in the not to take away anything, but I was really surprised by the ending. Just the way it ends, 'cause it's
oh,
I
yeah.
think that's the part to me that screams like short story, is 'cause like most novels and stuff you read are like, oh, this well thought out ending, all this stuff, but then in this book you're like reading it and it, you know, to quote Dennis Reynolds, it just sort of ends.
That was my thought exactly, reaching the end of this book. It's like sometimes things just end. Like, 100%. This was definitely suffered from that. And sometimes I don't think it's a bad thing. In fact, I think I Am Legend just kind of like ended like that. It sort of just ends. But I Am Legend, I was like, oh, it was good, you know? But this one, I didn't hate, again, I didn't hate the ending. It's not the ending that bothered me, but yeah, I see what you mean of like, it's so elaborate, and then you just get to the end and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like nothing personal, nothing against the book, but yeah, it's just kind of like I feel like that he does a really good job of like building up this character, and you're like, man, he needs to get what's coming to him and all this stuff, and then it just kind of ends, and you're like, oh, I guess I'm okay with this.
You remember how when we read Phantom and I made us pull out that cookbook I had because it had like questions and stuff in it?
Yeah.
This book is in that. But I'm feeling kind of lazy and I don't want to pull out my cookbook, so would everyone hate me if I didn't?
I wouldn't. Are you asking me?
Yeah, basically. No one else is here to answer. I know one of the questions is like, do you agree with what the author has to say? Like, do you think there's two sides to every man, like a good side and an evil side?
I don't know. Personally, I don't think there's a good side and evil side. I feel like we see this a lot where we're from, is there's always like a person that feels like they're repressed in some way. And they're like, oh, I need to like sow my wild oats. And you're like, all right, go right ahead. But then they're like, I need to tell everybody how many oats I'm sowing. And you're like,
We
not
don't
everybody
care.
cares. Like, you go do your own thing. Like, so I'm like, ah, I get, and then that's kind of like the vibe I got from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He's like the guy that, you know, Dr. Jekyll's like this guy that he expected to be a certain way. Like everything about him is like prim and proper and all this whatever, and I don't even know if I'm using that right. That might be a negative term. I don't know what prim means. I have no idea. But
I think it means like well put together, well groomed, but I could be wrong.
yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like he's just wants to be, or he's like held to such a high standard that he couldn't let loose even if he wanted to. And so he like made this thing that's all it does is lets loose. And you're like, okay, but
Well, I would say that there is two sides to every person. Just, I don't know, you brought it up lately, and I've definitely had the thought myself of, I could just do this. I could just do that, you know? But I don't. You know, so I do think there is that, like, good and bad to everyone. And I think it just comes down to like making the decision of I'm not gonna do that because I'm not an asshole. I'm a good person, you
Yeah.
know? So I do think there's, you know, two sides to every man, and it just comes down to that choice of like knowing what's right and wrong, where he was kinda like, oh, I wanna be bad, so I'm gonna make a way so I can be bad. And it's like, no, you're choosing to be bad. I don't know. I don't know if I just answered a question or just talked in a circle, but
No, I get what you're saying.
yeah. Okay. The next book on my list is Frankenstein.
Frankincense.
You read this one last year.
Yes.
All right, you want to go first on it, or I have a lot to say about this book, and you know I do because we talked about it.
Yeah, I don't know, this book, I really enjoyed it. I think this is another book that I never read. I watched interpretations of the movie. I've never seen the original black and white movie of this one. So I was kind of like, I didn't really know what to expect. And I don't know if we read a weird version, but the version that we had, we talked about this, is it doesn't have the whole lab scene. Like it has like him talking about like, well, this is like he's basically just talking about what he thinks about humans and making humans, whatever. And he's like, oh, I learned from this person, and this person is very frowned upon in the scientific community. And you're like, I didn't know who any of the people were, so I didn't, I'd never questioned it or whatever. But it didn't have that. And then it just kind of like it I and maybe this is me being like looking too far into it, but he's just like so childish, because he was like, I want to do this thing, I want to do it, I've always wanted to do this, I'm doing it right now. And then he like makes this monster. And then, like, as soon as he makes the monster, he's like, oh my gosh, I regret everything I've done. Like, this is.
Well, and so let me add on that real quick because I was very disappointed. I mean, and this is what I meant with like pop culture bringing it so far from the origin is again, I've never seen Frankenstein. I've never read it. I've just seen, like you said, I don't even think I've seen like adaptations, but I just like know the pop culture references of the mad scientist in the lab, Lightning, the little henchman Igor, and his screaming, "It's alive! It's alive!" And eventually, he's just this big dumb animal chased by villagers with pitchforks and torches to a windmill where I think he kidnaps a girl. I don't know, maybe that's getting too King Kong, but they set the windmill on fire and it ends, nothing. The creation bit in the book is so anticlimactic. Like, I even wondered, like, had I really listened to it? Because it just kind of, he just talks about how he's like writing in his journal, and then his creation just opens up its eyes. And then he's just like, I'm gonna go take a nap. And he just leaves. And this thing just escapes. And then he just is like, okay, I'm gonna go on like nothing ever happened. Because, like Brady said, he's like, I regret everything. So he just kind of acts like nothing happens. And it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah. But that part was anticlimactic, and then I don't know, like I appreciated it, but I didn't, it wasn't my favorite bit, is when he eventually meets back up with the monster, and the monster's like giving his backstory about what he's been up to in all this time. And I was like, I don't like it was fine. Like, it was interesting. But I'm like,
It just
man, this
drug
is
on a
so
little too
long.
long, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they could have summed it up in like three sentences or shorter.
Yeah. So I was like, holy crap. I don't like, I get it. Like, we want to know that he's lived a life. And I'm like, dang, it's kind of, but it's one of those things, like the whole book after that bit is just like a major buzzkill. Like, every time he starts to get his life back together or like move on with his life in some way, it's like this creature just shows up to like throw a monkey wrench into it. And you're just like, man, I just want, like, even though I know that Victor Frankenstein is a bit of a douche, like, I'll just say this, he was childish. Like, yeah, I said before,
very childish.
I'm like, he's doing stuff without thinking of the consequences. He's just like, I just want to do this to see if I can do it, and maybe I'll get some fame and fortune out of it, whatever. Sounds like his family was already rich, so maybe not fortune. But then, like, his one big consequence is just, like, ruining his whole life. And I'm like, this is kind of getting annoying, but not, like, I understood it. But I was just like, man, this is, like, this guy needs to catch a break eventually. But he never seems to catch a break.
Yeah. I don't know. This was also in that good book, Good Food, Good Friends, or whatever cookbook I had. But I can't really remember any of the questions there either. I think it's something like, did you pity Dr. Frankenstein or did you pity his monster? And I remember when you read it last year, you were pissed. You were like, that monster's a dickhead.
Yeah.
You hated him. But I almost, especially at first, almost just felt like, you know what? Victor's a freaking weenie.
Mm-hmm.
He's a straight up ween. So, I don't know. I didn't pity either. I thought they both, like, I think it all came back to, like, Victor was an idiot, and, like, sure, he shouldn't have done what he did. You know?
Yeah.
But overall, he should have just, like, faced his, like, mistake head on rather than running away from it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the monster wakes up and he just pieces out and lets it get away. And it's like, like, you should have confronted it there. You should have, like, either put a stop to it or taken it in and, like, you know, help. You taught it English and taught it how to be nice and not kill people. You know?
Yeah. Like,
everything that happens, I almost feel like, you know, this is your fault. Like, I don't really have much pity for you that this is happening because you're an idiot.
Well, and that was the one thing at the end of the book that I was kind of like, I guess not annoyed with, but I felt like it was a lot easier decision for me. It's like the end of the book, it basically sets it up like, Kate, who are you going to believe? Who do you think, like, had the rougher whatever? And I'm like, man, I do not have any pity for the monster. Like, by the end of the book, I was just like, I don't care. Like, screw this guy. Like,
yeah.
Cause yeah, he like didn't ask to be born or whatever, didn't ask to be made. And so you're like, oh yeah, Victor needs to take responsibility. But then he like literally just spends his entire existence just ruining Victor's life. And I'm like, okay, like he probably could have moved on and scraped out some existence somewhere. Like, you know, kind of like Eric in,
Phantom of the Opera.
Like he was disfigured, like he was not attractive, he had like
a skull for a face.
Yeah, he had a horrible facial disfigurement. You're like, oh yeah, that guy. Like, but then you listen to it and you're like, man, he freaking went on and he lived a life. Like, yeah, he had to wear a mask for a lot of it, but I'm like,
and he was a monster.
But the monster in the book, like, I think that's what's funny is like, because I guess I expected, because you watch the movie and all he can, like, he just grunts and groans and whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of what I expect. And then in the in the book, he's just like, starts off like that, but it's only like for the first maybe like little while.
Yeah.
And then he eventually like learns to talk. And then after he learns to talk, he's like, oh yeah, I'm like super smart. And you're just like, okay, yeah, good for you, like, for being smart. But then he's also kind of like, I don't know, I guess to me he's like full of himself. Like, I don't know if that made sense, but I was just like, he had this like attitude, like he was owed everything.
Yeah.
Like he's like, Victor, you did this, so you have to do everything I say because you need to make this right. And you're like, well, I mean, why don't you just let him kill you? Because that would make everything right.
Yeah. Like,
the fact that you're alive is the problem. You're not the fact that Victor is trying to move on, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, the monster felt like he was owed stuff. I'm like, whatever. But I guess to me, it just felt like too much like nowadays when people like just assume they're like, no, you have to like accommodate me. You have to do this for me. And I'm like, you're kind of a dick. So I don't think he has to do anything. And then spoilers, 70-year-old spoilers, he starts just like murdering everybody in his life, in Victor's life. And I'm like, okay, like I get you being like mad at him and like being upset and thinking he owes you stuff. But then it's like, you're murdering kids and you're murdering like just this girl that literally has never done a bad thing in her life. It sounds like she was just like the purest of ladies. And he's just like, ah, he loves you. So game over. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. And I get where you're coming from, but like I said, I couldn't feel bad for Victor because he just pissed me off so bad at the beginning. But overall, I loved the book. It had the same thing as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, especially in that bit that you were talking about where he meets up with the monster for the first time after he, you know, it awakens and escapes from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could have been summed up. That went on far too long, and like it did that and some other parts was just those like, oh my gosh, like, are we done yet? Like, really? Like, what are we talking about? This is going on too long. But overall, I really liked the book. I thought it was really good. It is just really weird because I like had Brady. I'm like, can you go back and listen to this? Because one of the most, I mean, outside of the iconic, you know, castle with lightning.
Mm-hmm.
But Igor is one of the most iconic things as well. And he wasn't a dude. He wasn't in that book at all. But let's go back to the whole lightning thing. This one really disturbs me because I don't know if I'm having a Mandela effect, but I am almost certain that the inspiration behind Frankenstein came from when, is her name Mary Shelley?
Mm-hmm.
Was at a university in Edinburgh, I believe, watching a corpse, a cadaver, in a science lab back when it was like they stuffed 1,000 people in a room and like, hey, we're going to learn anatomy today on like this like corpse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they shocked it with electricity to show how the muscle spasm, and that was her inspiration behind Frankenstein. So to have this anticlimactic, oh, the creature woke up as I was, you know, writing notes, I was like, you didn't shock him with lightning? You didn't wait for a friggin' lightning storm? Like, what the hell? Like, I was very upset with that part. Especially, cool. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure this was the inspiration behind the whole story.
And I can't remember. I kind of, like, blew through the, because I just kind of started and, like, listened to get to that point. But I want to say that somewhere in there, at least in the edition we read, it says, like, I have, like, a detailed way of how I did this, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want anybody to, like, replicate it or whatever.
Yes, yes. That I remember that, too. And even the monster, because when the monster escapes, he grabs Victor's coat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I found these notes on how you created me in the pocket. And after I learned to read them, I read them. Which is another part that kind of bugged me, because the whole plot, spoiler alert, is he wants Frankenstein to make the monster a bride so he's not alone. And it's like, well, dude, if you had the notes and you read them,
yeah,
then why didn't you do it yourself? But maybe he couldn't.
Well, and that's what I thought was interesting, is because, like, he seems like he's super smart. He even goes out to, like, find all the proper body parts to make a mate, and then brings them to Victor, and he's like, assemble these for me and bring it to life. And you're like, you sound like you're pretty capable yourself. Like, can't you figure out some way to bring somebody alive or whatever?
Yeah. But
he doesn't ever, you know, doesn't do it. Victor's like, okay, I feel bad, whatever. And then doesn't end up doing it. And you're like, oh, well, the monster made it sound like he was fully capable
of doing it.
Yeah, of doing that thing. So, I don't know. I guess that's kind of where I got. But then again, the book is like, I think, I want to say it's like 30s or 40s. So 80 years old, 70 years old.
I can't remember. But overall, I loved it. What did you think?
I loved it apart from the one part that we kind of talked about together.
Yeah, but it didn't ruin the story for me. Like, it's a part that I'm like, okay, maybe...
No.
Maybe I'll skip in the future. But overall, I loved the book.
Yeah, it just, like, slows it down. But overall, the story of it's really good. I liked the ending, how the ending makes you, like, makes you decide what you think. And I'm like, okay. Like, I appreciate that. But at the same time, I'm like, I feel like my opinion's going to be different than a lot of people. But I guess that's the nice thing is it's like, well, it never tells you you're wrong.
Yeah.
Doesn't say like, oh, yeah, well, you're right. The monster was doing all of this stuff out of spite just to make Victor's life a living hell. And so I'm like, all right. All right.
Well, next book, Dracula. And this is another book that you read last year, and I think you started rereading it. Yeah. I don't know how far you got.
I made it about halfway.
I really enjoyed this book. It was very thrilling, especially the end bit. Oh my gosh, I didn't expect
the climax.
Oh man, yeah, it was really good. It's really unique in the way it's written. It's all from like other people's perspective, diaries, letters. So you kind of jump around from like perspective to perspective, but really good. Really good. I really hated the character Lucy the first time she was introduced because I thought she was just full of herself because she's like, I was proposed to by 3 different men in 1 day. Here's how the first one went. And now I'm crying so hard because I felt so bad that I had to reject him. I'm going to stop writing now. Oh, here's how the second one went. And now I'm crying again because he's such a good man. And I'm just like, you're full of yourself, lady. Like, my gosh.
Yeah.
But, anyways, it was a really good book. Again, not... I don't know. This one, actually, I don't know, wasn't too far removed from... I mean, I've not seen the original Dracula, but we watched the trailer for it, and it seemed pretty like it would have been, like, spot on with the book.
Yeah,
Is he texting someone?
Yeah, I'm texting McCade. I don't remember the movie. Like,
did you watch the movie?
No, I watched like the first half of the movie. I don't think I've ever made it to the end, but I never knew the end. Like reading the end of the book and the way that the ending takes place. Like I knew that it ended back kind of where it started.
Mm-hmm.
But just all the stuff that takes place in England to get back to that point, I'm like, man, I freaking didn't remember any of this. Because the last time I read it was like 7th, 8th grade, and it was a scholastic version, so I don't even know if it was the same. But, yeah, I was like, didn't remember any of all the craziness that they were going through trying to find, you know, find Dracula.
Well, and like that part probably bugged me the most is like they waste a lot of time trying to like, okay, we got to prove that there's a vampire here. Okay, it's proven. And instead of killing it now, we're going to come back tomorrow. Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. But I think the biggest, like, what would I call it? Departure
mm-hmm.
from the book. Most pop culture iconic thing from Dracula was, you know, you see Van Helsing as this, like, badass, like, ripped young man that's just hell-bent on, like, ridding the world of all supernatural beings. And I'm not saying Van Helsing was not a badass. He was a complete badass in the book, but he's just like an old guy. He's just a professor. And he's just like just knows things, but he's just, I don't know, he's a doctor, but he's not necessarily a monster hunter. So I guess that's the biggest thing is like pop culture, he's this monster hunter book. He's just a doctor. He's still a super cool dude. Still probably my favorite character from the book, but it is just funny how you get that like that drawback. But
Well, and to put in my two cents as well, is I'm like, they always like portray him as soon as he shows up and they mention what's going on, he's like, I know exactly what's going on. But then in the book, he's like, he's not really sure of what's going on until the first time he actually comes face to face with like the living dead. He's like, oh, well, I don't know. I think this might be a vampire. Even like at the one point when spoilers, when Lucy dies, or she's dying, and her fiance goes to give her a kiss on the mouth, and Van Helsing's like, "Don't kiss her on the mouth, kiss her on the forehead," and then he like kisses her on the forehead, and then he's like, "You're like, oh, why is that?" And he's like, "Well, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to like speak too quick." You're like, "Oh, well, he's like kind of going off of like, this is what I think is happening," but he's not like, he doesn't show up and just think, oh, this is vampires. Sure enough, it's vampires. Here's what we're gonna do. You know, he's basically just like being like, I'm gonna take precautions in case this is a vampire, but I don't know yet if this is what we're dealing with.
All right. What did you rate this book? What did you rate this book?
I loved it.
Me too. Me too. Next book, A Stir of Echoes, and you read this last year. I thought this was a really good book. I really enjoyed it. There is a big difference between the book and the movie with like who the victim, who the ghost is. Not enough to make me hate it, but I definitely felt more sympathy in the movie. But Frank's a piece of shit and I hate him. I didn't really like him in the movie, but in the book, yeah, he's an asshole. Yeah, and kind of got to me when it was like, I don't know, because it's set in like the 90s in the movie. And then in the book it's like the 50s, which I think you told me this.
Yeah, because I didn't realize it until like halfway through the book when it starts describing there's a train accident and he's like describing the train. I'm like, man, either this guy is really like not informed about trains or this is an old book. And so then I looked it up right there because I was just like, okay, because it mentions like several things throughout the book, and you're like, I don't know, like this seems out of place, but I'm not gonna say anything because it could mean like, you know, maybe he just doesn't know as much about this topic as other ones. And then as I was reading, I was like, oh, let me look. Looked it up. Sure enough, the book is like 60, 70 years old, and I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Why this or why he said this and why this is this way.
Yeah.
And I can't remember where it takes place, but
I
I
think it's in
don't,
California.
yeah, it's like California. And then in the movie, it's like, I want to say,
Boston.
it's like Boston or Chicago,
Somewhere.
because they have really,
Strong
really strong
accents.
accent. Like Kevin Bacon has a really strong accent. And I'm like, oh, I think it's Chicago. I don't know.
But yeah, the wife pissed me off in the book just for the fact that she's like, "Hey, I want to be understanding and helpful of what you're going through, but also this is," and after she says that, she's like, "This is too scary. I can't handle this. Don't ever talk to me about this." And it's like, "Well, make up your mind. Like, do you want to help him or not? 'Cause just take a stance." But you know, overall, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it.
5 stars from me.
I don't know if I gave it a 5-star. It was on the upper end. It was between 4 and 5, so I'll say 4.5. But yeah, it was really good. I think once I figured out the whole, like, that it wasn't an old, you know, that it, or that it was old, and then you kind of got to deal with everybody's individual bullshit, because
Yeah.
it's like, this neighbor across the street is this way, and then you find out, like, oh, maybe that's not true. But yeah, then this guy is a complete, what's the word? Like, misogynist. Like, he's just completely like an asshole who's like, doesn't sound like he's faithful to his wife, and he treats her like garbage and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's kind of a piece of shit. I don't want to spend like that much time on this character.
Yeah.
But like, that being said, like, his, all of his stuff with his, I guess you could call him powers. I'm like, this is all interesting. It's interesting, like, the stuff that he goes through, and you're like, oh, well, you know. He, like, in the movie, there's the one part when, his, somebody calls, and it's like about her, one of her
Mom.
family members, her mom or her grandma or something, and she's like, oh, I was just on my way out. And he's like, oh, don't you mean? And then, like, the phone rings, and she's like, what were you gonna say? And he's like, I gotta go, and then leaves. And then she, like, picks up the phone, and they're like, they died, and you knew, didn't you? And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. And she's, that's like when she, the first time she really starts to believe. But then that's what like freaks her out, is that, you know, he knew that whoever that family member was, I can't remember who it was, but they, like,
The mom.
that she was already dead, or that she was like pretty much on the way out, you know.
Yeah. That was another movie I wanted to watch, especially after reading the book. I tried to watch some things, like, I wanted to watch the original Dracula. Didn't get around to it. I wanted to watch Dracula Dead and Loving It, but we couldn't find it. But I did watch Young Frankenstein. Which I had seen that movie like whilst at a party, meaning he's playing in the background, so I didn't really get to watch it. And it was pretty great. I love Mel Brooks so much. He kills me. So, you know, Young Frankenstein had a lot of, I mean, it had a lot of Dracula mixed in there, like leading up to the castle and all the villagers, like, you know. Warning him of that place. But you know, it still had like it had Igor, which I know he doesn't exist, but oh my gosh, that guy was hilarious. And it was just his good it's good. I like that movie.
Well, I think another thing that, sorry to go back to this, I guess it was just kind of random. I thought it was so funny in the book Dracula, when the book starts off with Jonathan Harker, and it's more like a, it feels more like a Travel Channel show, because he's like,
Oh my
I went
gosh.
to this place, and they served me this food, and it's this, cooked like this, and blah, blah, blah.
Thank
Must,
you.
memorandum, get this recipe for
Thank you
Mina.
for reminding me because as I was reading it, I'm like, I should really look up these recipes and we could have like a Dracula themed dinner. But.
It just, I just thought it was so funny, because I'm like, this book is like gonna be so like suspenseful, especially like, you know, having read it not too long ago. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm gonna go through and just try to pick out things that I missed before. And I was just like, why is he so like, and maybe, you know, it's like Bram Stoker or whatever, trying to be like, yeah, I wanna like remember my roots and whatever, you know. But I just thought that was so funny, because he's like, went here, they fed me this, and I'm just like, what? Why are you
He
telling me
was just the
this?
dude enjoying his travels.
Yeah,
He was
I
just
guess
setting up
like,
the character.
he's,
What were you gonna say?
no, I was just like, he's out of England, and so he's like, I mean, because we know the jokes about like England not having,
Spice.
well, just not having great food. It's all just like bland. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess like that'd be a funny little take on it.
Yeah. Anyways, so final book is Interview with the Vampire. Interview with the Vampire, sorry. This is another movie I wanted to watch. Didn't get around to it. And you didn't get around to reading this book, correct? Amazing. Fantastic. It was so good. And it left me the way it ended, because I think we mentioned we thought it was just three books. We thought it was, and I don't remember what order, but I think we thought it was Interview with the Vampire, Queen of the Damned, and then The Vampire Lestat. I don't know, I'm kind of feeling like The Vampire Lestat might be the second book, but I'll have to look into it. But oh, it left on a good cliffhanger. It left on such a good, like, I want to read the next book. Again, I found that this one very closely stuck to how, like, the movie was, or I guess the movie stuck closer to the book rather, but it was so good. It's a really good book. I think there's a character that had a bigger part in the book than the movie. I can't really remember, but overall, just like, I just can't say enough good about this book. It was so freaking entertaining. Like, I was just hooked from beginning to end, and I can't think of a part where I was just like, okay, we get it. Come on, move on. Like, it was very entertaining, and it really did leave you with those, like in the movie. I think the biggest thing I hated between the book and the movie was Claudia, because oh, Brady is showing me that The Vampire Lestat is the second book, which makes sense because that's how it's set up at the end of the first book. Is I won't give it away, but anyways, I think Claudia was the biggest thing I hated between the movie and the book. Was and maybe it's just because they had a child actor, she doesn't understand, but in the book they cannot stress enough that, like, no, she's over 100 years old. Like, she's an old lady. But she just looks adorable. She just looks like a 5-year-old. That was really hard for me listening to how the 5-year-old, like, how they found her originally, because our daughter's turning 5 soon, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I could not imagine. Broke my heart, but yeah, she just seemed like a bratty kid throughout the whole movie.
Excuse me, I'm so
But
sorry.
in the book, she was a woman, and they could not stress enough she's a woman, just in a 5-year-old body. And it really does give you that, like, that dilemma. I know they don't bring it up like a whole lot, but it really is like, yeah, she is eternally 5. Like, is this, you think of becoming a vampire as you are now, and you're like, is that a blessing or a curse? Most people would say blessing, but it's like, if you were eternally 5, unable to do things yourself because you're too young, too small, like, I don't know. I think that's the biggest, like, I don't know. That's the biggest difference. But anyways, good book. I think the biggest thing that book, the lesson was that I don't think really came across in the movie, was just Louis's just so miserable. He's just miserable the entire book. And I think it's because as a human, he clearly suffered from depression. And it didn't go away in his, what would you call it, afterlife, his vampire life. He was just going to be eternally depressed. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, depression awareness book. I'm a loser at work, I'm a loser at home. So, but yeah, I definitely recommend that one. 5 stars.
I'm good. Because the movie's super good.
Oh, the movie's so good. That's another movie I wanted to watch so bad, especially after reading it.
So, and this is random, but I'm gonna bring it up. Two quote or two little things is like I remember when Anne Rice first heard that Tom Cruise was gonna be Lestat, she was really pissed off, and I thought he did really good as Lestat. But then I was watching like I didn't know what the movie was at the time. It was on TV, and I just, like, started watching this movie. And it was about, like, this dude that was, like, this pop star, and he, like, dresses funny and whatever. Come to find out that this is, like, Lestat. Like, he is a pop star. And I was like, what in the hell is going on? Like, why, like, I just didn't, it did not make sense to me. And then come to find out the movie was Queen of the Damned. And so I'm like, okay, maybe if I read the book Queen of the Damned, like, this whole pop star Lestat thing will make sense. Because I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, why is he now a pop star? And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what she was pissy about. Maybe she just didn't like him as an actor, because I thought he did really well reading the book. He was very close to the character the whole time. Like, he just was this carefree vampire. And that's why he didn't get along with Louis, because Louis was like, what is the meaning of my existence? Why are we this way? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there a god? Is there a devil? And he's like, just be a fucking vampire with me. Like, he just wanted to be bros. He just wanted a buddy. And Louis's like, no, I need to find the meaning of life. Like, I think he did a really good job. So I don't know why she was pissed. Because,
well, I mean, especially, like, after, you know, when, because Louis leaves for a while, then comes back, and Lestat's still just kind of there. And you're like, God, like, I remember in the movie, he was just so creepy after that. Like, before, he was just so suave and debonair.
Yeah.
And then the second time they go back, and he is just, like, he looks like a vampire. He doesn't look like this dude that's, like, just this womanizing, like, doing whatever he wants. He just, like, looks like a ghoul and, like, this really creepy. And I'm like, man, he gave off that whole vibe perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think he did really good. If that was your question, why was she pissed?
I just brought up the fact that, like, it was funny that she was mad that Tom Cruise was, and then I don't know if it's in the book, but why, like, if she was so mad that Tom Cruise was, like, why did she turn him into a pop star? Because he...
Well, I don't know. That's a question for after we read Queen of the Damned, because he definitely was not pop star.
Mm-mm.
Like, he was exactly as he was in the movie. He just was a carefree. He loved art and plays and music. They'd go to the theater all the time. He loved lavish things, you know. And then, spoiler alert, but he was just a creepy old man at the end of the book, because he'd just given up and he was just living off of rats and babies, so.
So, sorry to cut you off, but, like, for the entire book, like, is it pretty similar to the movie, or is it, like, they took a lot of liberties?
I want to say, from what I can remember, and there's a few things that I'm like, I don't remember if this is in the book or not, or in the movie or not, but for the most part, I think it goes pretty hand in hand. From what I can remember, it's pretty close. So I definitely would have to rewatch the movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of it is very similar.
Hmm.
But, yeah, so... Alright, well, that was our October book dump. We hope you enjoyed. Hope you found a new book that you might want to read. Oh, crap.
What?
We should probably come up with a book that we're going to read next. So if people want to read along, they know. Or should we just surprise them and be like, we're reading this book?
We can tell them next time. If, like, we can think about it, or if somebody...
If they're just browsing... episodes just on books, they might miss it. That's their problem, is what you were gonna say.
No, I wasn't gonna say anything.
Okay, well, I've been Panda.
I've been Brady.
And we can't wait to talk to you next time.
And we love you.
I still got a migraine.